First, the near post, get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first, if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post, I'm Lucy Zelich and welcome to what is supposed to be one of the most highly anticipated shows because of everything that we've got to talk about to you today. With me in the studio is our favourite Near Post host and regular analyst, Patrick Bordier. Patty,
hey,
welcome
favorite.
To the show.
Is that favorite?
Favorite. Absolutely. Even though we disagree a lot, I still love you, Patty. You know.
You looked startled when you said favorite.
I did. I was expecting hated, but we'll go with favorite.
And also Nick Cumston. Nick, thank you very much for joining us on the show. You're becoming quite a regular fixture now.
Always a pleasure, Lucy.
And can I just say, kudos to Nick, who has a newborn baby in his house.
Congratulations,
Victor.
Nick.
How old's Victor now?
Thanks, 6 weeks. So I'm doing the podcast rather than being at home.
How does the missus feel about that?
That's responsible. Well, yeah. They're at home listening, so
all right.
Go to them.
Well, big shout out to Victor.
We are talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network as always, and coming up in the next half hour, we've got all the news, a catch up on Australian players around the globe, the upcoming Socceroos match against Germany, and the next steps for the A-League clubs, the Victory and Perth. If you have an inquiry or you'd simply like to test our football knowledge, you can do so on our email, flanagan.amon@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com and on iTunes as well as Halftime Heroes. Show dedication this week. I'm sure that everyone's always excited to hear who we're dedicating the show to because it's always a very well-deserved person, whether it's for good or bad reasons. On this occasion, it is for good reasons. Chris Hurd.
What's he done?
Young Aussie lad. He's made his debut for Aston Villa. Now, an interesting fact popped up about how well he was rated. Nick, can you tell us a little bit about that?
I was reading the Guardian website, Luce, and he was the highest rated Aston Villa player on the weekend. Now, it comes with a bit of an asterisk because he was rated 5.9.
Who rated him?
5.9 out of 10.
These are the fans' ratings.
How many people actually voted though?
They had several hundred. hundred votes. So it must have been his mum and his dad.
Yeah. Extended family.
Dare I say? Because I quite like Chris Hurd, so I'm not going to shoot him down. But while I do that with one hand, I take away with the other. Could it be the novelty of a new player and hope springing eternal with Aston Villa fans?
Oh, look, there's a lot of bitterness amongst
They're not having a good time. But Jared Hulier has brought along a lot of players, you know, Steven Gerrard, Michael Owen in particular. So, you know, I'm not saying Hurd's right up there, but Hulier's got a good track record of bringing along players.
And we are desperate for young Australians to play in the Premier League.
We are desperate for any Australian players to do well so that they can put their hand up for selection. So we will wish him all the best here from the Near Post. And who knows, he may become the new Matthew Leckie. Matthew Leckie's Near Post. It may very well be Chris Hurd's near post.
Wow.
That's a lot to live up to.
Moving right on into the news, Football Federation Australia has announced that Ange Postecoglou has signed a contract extension that will see him remain at the Raw until the conclusion of the 2013-2014 Hyundai A-League season. Now, for those of you that obviously couldn't catch our conversation off air, I said, let's dedicate the show to Ange Postecoglou. And Patty promptly replied, no, I've had enough of him.
Well, he's so successful. Everyone's talking about it. Brisbane Roar, grand final, played beautiful football. Raw Salona, I think I've even heard.
Raw Salona?
Yeah,
geez.
I know.
Tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah, I think cut him down.
A year ago they were terrible and now they're premiers. You want to cut him
down. I would be hard-pressed to say that, that I didn't love that man. I do love him. I love what he's done.
I agree with you, Patty.
The dedication. We've given him dedications in the past. Let's look elsewhere for our dedication.
I'm very interested in the conversation with FFA the Melbourne Victory are there, apparently offering $400,000 a year to go to his hometown.
Right.
$400,000 a year.
So what did they pull out?
I don't know, but it would be very interesting.
They would have had to pull out all the stops because we know that the FFA is pumping cash into the Brisbane Roar. So it would have been interesting to see. I mean, I'm sure they would have wanted to hold on to him with everything that they had.
Brisbane, a much more attractive proposition for buyers.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing for me, though, the real test will be for Ange Postecoglou to show that he can back that up next season. So I'm not going to make my comments too early. I know that I shot him down at the beginning of the season when we were predicting where everybody was going to finish. Brisbane was not at the top, let me tell you.
While I smirk, I got to say, I was right with you, Lucy. You know, yeah. I recall
I
we were there saying
of,
Brisbane Roar,
a lot of people were.
Worst team. Gee, you turned it around. Mm. And he had a difficult job and he came good.
So no show dedication for Ange Postecoglou, but a contract with the Roar until the 2013-2014 season will suffice, I think.
And a little bit of love in my heart for him. He can choose which one he wanted more.
Moving on, ex-North Queensland Fury coach Franz Straka has put his hands up for the sought-after Melbourne Victory job. Mm. Nick, I heard you say off-air earlier that you like him as a candidate. You think he's the top man for the job.
He is the best-dressed manager in the A-League.
That was my call. I also think he's a bit crazy as well.
Yeah. It's a good combination.
Good things to bring to
the
job.
Branko Collina, he's got the dress. He's got the style, but he doesn't bring the crazy.
It's true.
He's relied on Lubo to bring the crazy, but now he's lost Lubo, so he's no match.
Lubo's enough crazy for anybody.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Lubo in our topics, but more news on the North Queensland Fury. Members of a North Queensland Fury advisory board have filed a defamation suit against Football Federation Australia following the club's axing from the A-League.
Yep, nothing.
Is it justified?
Nothing but good will come of that.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Look, that's what the A-League wants, is a long, painful, drawn-out court case.
With a club that no longer exists.
Yeah.
Central Coast Mariners left-back Joshua Rose was voted the Mariners medalist for the 2010-2011 season by his teammates. Melbourne Heart defender Michael Moroney could be set for a move to the English Premier League after trialling with runaway championship leaders Queen's Park Rangers. Mm-hmm. More Aussies going to the English League, lads.
Well, Queen's Park Rangers, if I recall rightly, are just in a bit of an issue where they may be doxing points.
Yeah, why?
They are 10 points clear, though.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good.
So why are they going to be docked points?
I can't, as soon as it came out of my mouth,
there's the
realised
fine print.
This is an Australian football show.
Yeah.
Move on.
He was
one of the success stories for the Heart this year.
Yeah.
So good luck to him.
Oh, well, absolutely. Melbourne Victory have confirmed their disappointing international marquee star Ricardinho has been loaned out to Brazilian club Parana Clube until December 31st. Mm. Why was he so disappointing? That's what I want to know.
Because he's getting paid $350,000 to $400,000 a year, if you believe the reports.
He didn't produce the goods.
Oh.
But I like that move from Victory. Sometimes players work, sometimes players don't. Mm. What you don't want to do is be hanging on to the ones that don't.
That actually fits in nicely
with the next item on the list.
Mm. Perth Glory refuted speculation that marquee man Robbie Fowler has left the club, confirming he has now been offered a new one-year deal. So they're not.
It's just like Nick took a run up across the room and kicked me in the groin. I don't know if that was necessary. Quite painful. You know, we've talked about players that should leave clubs.
Yeah.
There we go. One of Perth Glory's most important players. Robbie, he wasn't as fat as I thought he would be. Fowler.
No, he's really not as fat as we thought he'd be. I thought he was going to be running with a cupcake in his mouth every time. But, you know, he's surprised a lot of people.
Smelt some Fowler. Yeah. It's going to be the business.
Is that where it's at?
Mm-hmm.
Adelaide United is... Adelaide United is prepared to part with star playmaker Marcos Flores if they get a good enough offer.
Isn't that interesting?
That'd have to be a very good offer.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player.
He had an outstanding season for them.
After losing Travis Dodd, I don't think he can lose.
Why are they prepared to part ways with him, though? Do you think this is a financial issue? Tactical? Can't be tactical.
There's rumours that they're the front runner to sign Bruce Gitto from... Mm. Gold Coast.
Yeah, okay.
Can I just give you a bit of Marco Flores info?
Yeah, please.
For my keen eye.
We love it.
He runs funny. Like, when you watch him run, and it's better when you watch him live. I don't know if there's any Adelaide fans there, but if they, you know, Adelaide fans who have seen him live, if you could write in to back me or not, just write in.
Please do.
Like
for all of you Adelaide fans listening, wherever you are across the country, if you've downloaded our podcast and you're listening to it on the Wednesday night or you're listening to it live, I want you to write in to us. You know the address.
When
it's flanagan.amon@gmail.com.
He looks like he's flying. He's a very beautiful player to watch. But when he's off the ball, he's got this slow sort of loping style that kind of doesn't fit with his
style. He doesn't have the ball. He doesn't need to be running like
a... And he doesn't lift his feet very far off the ground. There, I said it. It's out there. They don't go far enough off the ground.
And this is why you do radio rather than manage.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. On some more exciting news, Football New South Wales, along with a collection of players and coaches from all 12 clubs, yesterday launched the 2011 season of the New South Wales Premier League. I'm always excited for this because fantastic competition. If you guys have ever managed to actually catch some of their games, brilliant standard of football.
Yep, and very important league in our country.
Yeah, absolutely, so, in terms of talent development and you know, really showing that...
Very keen to see that.
Yeah, really showing
and
that they can prove themselves.
For people to keep fit because it's a very long off-season. Mm.
And it's a really competitive standard of football too. They don't go soft there, they go very hard. Mm. Moving on people going very hard, former Socceroo Mark Bosnich says Adelaide United shot stopper Eugene Galekovic, rather, could still be Australia's first choice keeper, despite not being selected for the squad against Germany. I love me a bit of Eugene.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic coach. Yeah. So what's the decision there behind him not being selected for the squad against Germany? Is that, you know...
Yeah, it's interesting because we've got such a rich talent of good keepers coming through. It may be his age that's holding him back a little bit.
Yeah.
We've got some good young keepers. So, and Schwarzer, as he's shown and said, is not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's about blooding these young keepers. Mm-hmm. But, it's harsh on Galekovic. He's a very, very good keeper.
It is. And the thing with keepers, though, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm welcome to opinions here. You know, Paddy, that's always been our relationship. But, you know, I actually think that keepers are like a fine wine. You know, the older they are, the better they are. So,
can be, yes.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at some of the best keepers in the world, they're pushing mid-30s. Mm. So
yeah, absolutely.
Arsenal keeper might peaks be about at to a different give a job to a 41-year-old. Might be pushing it.
Keepers peak at a different time, and
they've got
longer longevity, which is why the young keepers we got are so impressive. You know, you're talking about Langerak. If he if he holds his place there on the bench, I think in a few years he's really going to gain enough experience to go to a very good side in Europe as a number one choice.
Mm. Bit of European news. Michael Ballack will again miss out on selection for the Euro 2012 qualifier against Kazakhstan and the friendly with the Socceroos. Ballack is working his way back up to full fitness after back-to-back injuries and has yet to make himself a part of the first-choice lineup at Bayern Leverkusen.
That can only be good for the Socceroos.
Oh, it's worth a couple of goals. Great news, but not good news for Germany. Now, I mean, obviously it was a massive loss for the Germany squad when he wasn't included in the World Cup. So are they a different side without him, Nick?
I think his leadership was missed just towards the business end of the season. I think they're fine for talent. They've got a good young squad, but a bit of leadership in those tight moments.
Yeah, look, he's a better player for Germany than he is for Chelsea. Or than he was for Chelsea, rather. Chelsea, obviously. He not being in their squad anymore. He's a significant player for Germany, and I'm happier with him not in there against Socceroos.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for us, bad for them. Now, topics, please. We mentioned it before. We touched on a bit of Yubo, but now he's in the news again.
Well, I can't believe that. How is this?
Yeah,
this guy
it's just shocking because the guy's such a hermit, isn't he? What I want to know is, Nick, why is he in the news again? What has he done this time?
I loved this report. Look, Lubo's a good friend to the New Post.
He is. we've described him as the human headline.
He's the human headline. I love him. Look, he's outlandish and he's, you know, quite buoyant with a lot of his comments, but he's staying in the headlines.
Can I just say, while we are talking fashion, or have been in the show, he's got great socks.
He really does.
Here we
go. So Marco Flores runs funny. Someone's got great socks.
He doesn't lift his feet far off the ground.
Franz Straka is the best dressed manager in the A-League.
A little bit of crazy.
I think we've got almost Paddy's Fashion Police segment here on the Near Post.
And who said doing the show drunk wouldn't work out well?
So Nick, please do take it away. Tell us why Lubo is in the media again.
I loved this report. I was reading about it in Matey's debut in the Victorian Premier League, which, as you were saying, you know, like the New South Wales Premier League, fantastic standard. Matey's debut afterwards said it was great to play in front of real fans and again instead of in the A-League where they've just watched a TV advertisement.
There you go with that. All right, so the first question. Riddle me this, Nick. What's he doing in the Victorian State League?
He was supposed to be going overseas.
There was a lot of talk, mainly from him, about him as usual. Going over to break the big market.
Look, there's conflicting reports. There's one report that said he got offered a contract but said that he didn't want to go for the end of the season, but would go for the start of the next mm-hmm. European season. But look, with Lubo, you never know.
Yeah, you really do never know.
And whatever the answer is this week, it may be different next week.
But yeah. I'm keen to see the interview.
Yeah. Oh, look, let's hope that the World Game posts another interesting liaison with one of the SBS correspondents and Lubo. But moving on, I wanted to touch a little bit on the Australian players across the globe. Now, right. we're always yes. intrigued to hear how they're going and, you know, what they're doing with themselves to be able to become eligible for selection from our Grand Master Head Coach.
Well, I've got some news. Well, we know Chris Hurd did well.
Yeah.
Tommy Orr.
Yeah, please. You love your Tommy Orr.
I just like him a little bit.
Okay, all right.
Like him a little bit.
It's yeah, okay.
Love. You giggle like a girl.
Full stop. That's the end of that sentence. I giggle like a girl.
Tell us a little bit about what Tommy Orr's up to.
So he's made his first appearance for Utrecht. The first appearance since December.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good to see him making some inroads there. There was some feedback. Feedback makes it sound like it was directly to me, and I've got information nobody else has. But you know, I read on the interweb that one of the issues Orr had was not necessarily his technique, but simply strategically and tactically where he needed to be. He wasn't getting in the right places in the field. So he is a young player, and this is his time to learn. If Orr can get himself in this team, he's got a future, I think so. But interestingly, Sirota's there, and Adam Sirota is doing very well, although he was an unused sub.
Warm the bench,
You know, Sirota is the undervalued of those two. I think he's got a future as well.
Mm. Other Germany Bundesliga news, actually, moving on to that. Mitch Langerak was an unused sub as Borussia Dortmund conceded late to draw 1-1 with FSV Mainz on Saturday. The result means Dortmund's lead ahead of second-placed Bayer Leverkusen is down to 7 points. Also more Aussies abroad. Dario Vidicic, one of my favourites and a good friend, also not being biased, played a full game and provided the assist for his Arminia Bielefeld's second goal in their 2-2 draw at Union Berlin on Sunday. Vidicic flicked on a 22nd minute set piece, and with the ball destined to find the back of the net, teammate Josip Tadic tapped it in from close range to claim the goal.
He's your friend. Do you think he could be our friend as well?
Yeah. You know what? When,
could you drop
when
a word
he's in town next, I'm going to get Dario onto the near post.
Yeah. There'll be hugs. There'll be tears, mainly between Nick and I. But, we'd be very happy to meet him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great guy, really great lad. And I mean, I'm really good to see, take the words right out of your mouth, Nick, but he's doing well.
I was just going to say, good to see both him and Rukavica doing well in Bundesliga.
Good old Nikita, fantastic player. Yeah, really good lad.
So I think, you know, there's some really good signs of good young players who are starting to creep into these first teams.
Building some confidence. Yeah.
Nice. More players that might actually ring a bell to some of our listeners as well. Elsewhere, Luke De Vier played a full game, as this is a mouthful now. Gyeongnam FC lost 2-0 at Daejeon.
Tidy work, Lucy.
Yeah, at Daejeon Citizen, while Ian Fife did not play as Busan Park were thumped 5-2 by Yeonbuk Motors on Sunday.
We can't forget Vanderbrink, who's I think he's playing for Busan as well. But
tell us a little bit about Vanderbrink.
Well, I follow him on Twitter. His Twitter's good if you want to.
Oh, you love his, do you a bit of the Twitter action? Yeah, good on you.
Vanderbrink is
doing
always
any work.
What you mean? Actually, getting paid to follow him on Twitter? No. So his Twitter's good. He's follow him if you dare. You get a lot of updates about a guy having coffee. He likes coffee at Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
And he likes catching up with Fife and his missus.
Yeah.
For a bit of a chat. I think, you know, he's trying to get to terms with his living in Korea.
Yeah.
And he just managed to get himself his phone set up in his house in Korea.
Oh, fantastic. Speaking of Korea, though, are they catching up with Sasha Ognanovsky, who scored a late consolation penalty as Seongnam Ilhwa lost 3-2 at home to Sangnyul on Sunday?
Yeah, there's a lot of love for the Og Monster.
Yeah, we do love the Og Monster.
I even ignore the fact that he's old and too slow because I love him so much.
Really?
Do I really ignore that? Yes,
well,
I really do.
Well, do you really agree with that? I mean, look, there's no denying it that he's had an absolutely outstanding season, and his inclusion in the Socceroos squad was obviously of importance. I thought he played a very pivotal part to the squad. So,
did you not see it as a bit of a weakness, our central defence being of age?
Look, our squad is, again, like that fine wine I keep talking about with relation to keepers.
We're not getting
better with age, okay? So
central defenders are a position where you can have
See, the thing is, I suspect because I don't know too much about Sasha's Korean K-League team, but I suspect that they've got a good balance with somebody who's a bit of speed who can cover, whereas in the Australian team, you wouldn't exactly say that we've got balance there in defence. We've just got our strengths, which is being big and getting the ball in the air.
There are some good signs, though, with Chris Heard coming through and also Reece Williams in for Middlesbrough. He's come back from injury.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, there's a player who hasn't been mentioned for a while. Bring those guys on. We really need that new blood, because I don't know if David Carney's going to cut it anymore. He'll cut it straight to the near post.
He can cut it straight to the unemployment line. That's where he can go straight to the back. A few more plays to wrap up there for those interested in England's championship. Scott McDonald scored his third goal in six matches as Middlesbrough won 2-1 over Watford on Saturday. And elsewhere, Shane Lowry played a full game in defence, helping Sheffield United to a much-needed 2-0 win over his former club, Leeds United, on Saturday. So good to see that a couple of these Aussie players that we've mentioned, there's a big list of them we won't have time to get through, unfortunately, but it's good to see that they're doing so well. Which brings me to my next point. Now, I have been saving the best for last, which is the quiz, so don't think I haven't forgotten. That's waiting until we get through all of our topics. But like I said, leading into our next topic now, Aussie Socceroos. Now, their upcoming game against Germany. We touched a little bit on our central midfielders and, you know, what's required there. But, lads, give me a little bit of a preview about what we can expect and if we've got a chance against Germany.
Really? You want to know what we can expect?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is it.
Give it to me straight.
Yeah. Okay. So Rick Okosek is going to set out his team with a very sort of stable but boring back four. We're going to have very direct football. We're going to hoof it long to Timmy. We're going to hope Timmy can get his head on it.
You still haven't got over Pimba Bank, have you?
It's just practical, direct, results. Well, it'll be trying to get a result against Germany, and I think we're just going to try and grind out a minimal loss.
I think he adapted his style for the Asia Cup. It would be very interesting to see how
Holger.
Adapting the style suggests that we've got variations on that style, and I haven't seen it yet.
No, I tend to agree with you there, Paddy.
He's been in the job 5 minutes and nearly won us our biggest international tournament ever.
Thank you. I will side with him there.
Come
know
on,
that
Lucy, you can't side with both
no,
of us.
No. I will
side
with him on that point, but I'll disagree with your distaste for the good old Holger Osiek. I don't know why you can't let go of Pimba Vake. Everybody else says. I said sayonara to him a long time ago, and happily.
I think you said sayonara while we were still in the job, Lucy.
Yeah,
entirely fair.
I was happy to get rid of him a long time ago, and that was only because I simply didn't agree with a lot of his recruitment choices, should I say. I thought he made very bizarre tactical ploys with a lot of the important games that came up to us. Paddy, I know you're looking away, rolling your eyes, but I'm the host. You're going to listen to me.
Richard Garcia, a striker.
Correct.
Yeah, so we'll play the wingman who's never played up front for us before. That's a good idea.
Stop bringing facts into this argument.
Paddy, I know you've said that we're hoping to grind out a minimal loss result, but Nick, have we got the utilities available to us to actually come away with, even God willing, a draw or even a win against Germany?
Look, Germany have picked a mixed squad, apparently, so some younger players. Sounds like they're wanting to check out their squad ahead of European Cup.
Wouldn't you like to see Australia play more young players, play an attractive style, which A-League teams have shown that we can do. Both of the teams in the grand final played very, very good football.
Mm.
We can play that kind of football.
I think we
Why aren't we trying to?
Maybe not against Germany.
Paddy,
doesn't matter. We want to play good football and we want to win through that good football.
Paddy, I think we're jumping the gun a little bit. Often when we
say,
look, often when we refer to the standard of the A-League football, which to me has been the best it's ever been since the league capped off in 2005, this has been the most exciting football to watch all year. But when we start to compare it on an international stage, I think we are starting to get a little bit ahead of ourselves. They have played good football. The standard of it was good, don't get me wrong. But in terms of being able to compete against teams and actually pull from these Aussie teams talent, they will never be able to go toe-to-toe with international stars.
It's a friendly. When else are you going to do it?
Yeah, well, look, you make a good point there. And I think that the friendlies is when coaches should be bringing in their young blood to see, you know, to test them and see, well, right, have we got the resources available to us for the future? And, you know, if we do, then here's the chance for them to show it.
So is it too early to call for Ange Postecoglou as Socceroos coach? Who's with me? Anyone?
I'm not just sick of hearing about Ange Postecoglou. For the record, let the courtroom hear that Paddy did bring that up on his own.
And there were rolling of eyes.
Moving along, company. I don't want to talk more about fact. I want to talk more about your predictions. The next steps for the A-League clubs, the Victory and Perth. You know, Victory now kind of without a coach. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Usually we do. We are the near post. We hear everything first here. But, you know, what does this mean for these clubs? Paddy, I'll let you front the Perth chatter because I know it's close
when
to your
When you say
heart.
Predictions, can I just change that to hopes and dreams?
No.
So for Perth,
we're
right,
being realistic.
What I want... Well, okay, come on. Any Merricks out there?
Mm-hmm.
Perth have had a review. Were the review results of the review published, Nick? Do you know?
No, I don't, but I do know that Dave Mitchell got sacked the next day.
It's a pretty short, sharp review, isn't it?
It's like
a review seemed to be centred upon his position, but that's okay. Let's leave that aside.
Any Merrick's used to coaching a bunch of old guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
I would question Perth Glory, and I pretty much do every day, but I'd really question if they're not looking at Ernie Merrick right now. The Victory.
Very interesting.
Quick
situation.
Assessments on that one.
Look, they've been the headline team for the A-League, the success story, but I think they're at a crossroads.
I disagree. They're a good team. They shouldn't change too much. Just a couple of
days. Well, then explain
they need to reinvent themselves.
Yeah, explain their lack of performance then. And, you know, they've been doing so dismally in the Asian Champions League. You know, what went wrong this season? Is it just a case of Merrick got a little bit too stale?
It's not the season. They've always done badly in the Asian Champions League.
But now I'm talking about A-League, okay?
They've conceded goals like crazy all season. Very vulnerable at set pieces. Need to reinvent themselves down back.
I think Vargas is okay. I think you're probably right. They just need a tweaking, maybe some young blood in the back line.
We'll see how that goes. I want to wrap today's show up with a quiz. Ooh. For those of you who won't be able to get it, it'll leave you thinking till next week's show. But lads, I'm pretty sure that you'll be able to get right to it. Ahead of the friendly with our traditional rivals, Germany, it's obviously tying in with everything that we've chatted about today. How many Germans have managed the Socceroos? And a bonus question for what trophies?
How many Germans?
If any, they have won.
Are we counting Bernd Stranger as the Perth Glory coach who should have managed the Socceroos?
Come on, you got about 10 right, seconds
okay.
to give me your
obviously
answer.
Obviously, Okasek is in there.
Yeah.
And the other one, I think's Rudi Guttendorf, who won the 1980 Oceania Nations Cup on his way to coaching New Caledonia, Fiji and Tonga.
I can add no more.
Oh, beautiful. What a way to end the show, lads. Thank you so much for joining me. If you were listening, it was on 2XX98.3, the near post. And if you are going there...
David Carney, you broke my heart.
Get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post.